steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Candy.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. As always, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you every Wednesday and Thursday morning, getting you ready for week 10 of the NFL season. That's right, the Giants, Big Blue, baby, getting ready for the Oakland Raiders. And word out of the West Coast, the black hole, that is that Terrell Pryor practiced yesterday. His knee is fine, and in fact, he looked great at practice. A negative about the running back situation, and that is that Darren McFadden did not practice. Rashad Jennings looks like he's going to carry the load for Darren McFadden. But I don't think it's a surprise for anyone. I mean, if anyone has followed Darren McFadden's career, you know that he's just injury prone. That's the biggest knock on him. And it's interesting to see what happens because he's a free agent, Paul. And so, you know, what team is going to go out there and maybe, you know, take a gamble, take a risk on Darren McFadden, because the guy just cannot stay healthy for an entire season. You know that if you have Darren McFadden as your running back, you're lucky to have him for maybe 10 games out of the season.
Well, you know, they say you can't win games on the trainer's table. And
right.
That's the whole deal.
Well,
I mean, you got to stay healthy.
Well, they actually say you can't make the club in the tub.
That's true.
201-939-4513 is the phone number for you to get in on the show. Again, 201-939-4513. We're going to rock and roll for the next hour. Also, don't forget, it's Thursday. What does that mean? Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive, is going to join us on the show coming up in a few minutes. But before we do bring Eric on, you spent some time last night doing a little bit more research on the Oakland Raiders. And the reason that Paul Dottino did, folks, is because I felt he was maybe a little too overconfident about this matchup. I felt that you were underestimating an Oakland Raiders team. And we heard head coach Tom Coughlin address the media yesterday. And what did he say? I am not going to have these players look at this film against the Philadelphia Eagles. The fact that Nick Foles threw seven touchdown passes against the Oakland Raiders. That game really does not indicate how good this Oakland Raiders team is. So Paul spent some extra time last night, not like the man sleeps anyway, and broke down some film. And the one game that you really analyzed was the Kansas City Oakland Raiders game. So, Paul, what did you find out from your film study last night?
Well, let's make it very clear now. They played the Chiefs 3 weeks ago, and they lost to Kansas City 24-7, but it was a very competitive game, and Kansas City only had to drive 50 yards twice to get some points. Then they also clinched it with an interception return for a touchdown in the final minute of the game. So the score is very deceiving. They were absolutely in that game the whole way, and they gave the Chiefs as much of a tough time as the Giants did a couple of months ago. So let's just make that very clear, and that's why I picked that game. In addition to the fact, quite frankly, you told me that that would be a good game to pick on the basis that you had seen a lot of the Oakland Raiders during the course of the season. So I found a couple of things. First of all, offensively, Pryor is very poor in his progressions. He looks at his first receiver much too much, and if his first receiver is covered, he's pulling that ball down and he's taking off. He does not go through his pass progressions very well at all. That would be a concern of mine if I were the Oakland Raiders. The good news is, when he tucks it away, he's incredibly quick, even quicker than I thought. And he really, really is thinking run when he tucks that sucker down. He's not thinking scramble to pass. He's really thinking a run. He's going to look at his first receiver. He's going to stare him down for a couple of seconds, and the second anybody gets anywhere within his body language, he's taking off and running with the ball. So that's first thing I saw. Second thing I saw, Jennings keeps his legs moving at all times. You know, we talk about him being a backup running back. Well, that's true. Had over 100 yards last week against Philadelphia. this guy may not be the fastest, the most powerful. He may not be the most of anything. But what he does do is work hard. He runs between the tackles, and he constantly keeps his legs moving, which means if you don't gang tackle him, he will break that first tackle. He will push that pile the extra yard or two unless you hit him a second and third time. That's another thing I noticed on offense. The offensive line is very unathletic, okay? They don't get much of a push at all on the line of scrimmage. They prefer to just try to hold the line of scrimmage or retreat into pass protection. They are not a very impressive offensive line at all. That's what I saw on offense. You want to save defense for later or you want defense now?
Let's save defense for later because we are going to bring on Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive. But great stuff so far. When we're done with Eric, we will open up the phone lines again, 201-939-4513. Hopefully we'll rock and roll through a ton of calls. I know Giants fans, as we get closer to Sunday, are pretty geeked up about this game as the Giants are coming off of a bye. Without further ado, Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive, one of the best Giants fan sites out there. Eric, welcome to the show. I guess Giants fans have had a bye week to relax, kind of enjoy some of the other games. I don't know how enjoyable they were, considering that all the other NFC East teams did win last week at Week 9. But what is the feel, what is the vibe of your site right now as the Giants get ready for the second half of the season?
Hi, guys. Well, hope is beginning to rise a little bit. Obviously, at 2-6, they're still quite, they're in a deep hole still. And you're seeing more reaction from fans that you know, the hope is beginning to rise a little bit, but maybe they might get back into this. It was interesting watching the fan reaction to the weekend's action because those first two early games with the Redskins and Chargers and Dallas and Vikings were so close, and it was almost like watching a Giants loss because they were both heartbreakers, and everyone was obviously pulling for the NFC East to lose those games. So that was a little tough. Sunday was a little tough. We saw a lot of frustration there. But like the Giants have been talking about all week, the fans realize that the Giants still very much control their own destiny. And if they somehow can play better football and sort of follow the model that they've done in the last 2 weeks, they could quite, you know, possibly get back into the mix here.
Well, Eric, you know, I think it's very interesting in that wherever I go, everybody wants to talk about how mathematically speaking, the Giants certainly have an opportunity. And there's no doubt about that. Anita and I have been talking about this now for several weeks. Mathematically speaking, there's a chance here. There's no question about that. But football-wise, how much do you get the sense that the fans are looking at this and saying they beat two very, I'm going to say, subpar quarterbacks? I'm trying to be nice.
No,
here.
I understand.
Are fans weighing that at all, or are they just happy with the two wins and they're just whistling past the graveyard?
No, most realize that it's been the quarterbacks. And I would say that, you know, I've been encouraged personally by the play of the defense, and obviously the quality of the opposition has a impact in that. But, you know, the additions of Beeson, Will Hill is playing some really good football. I think Ontrell Roll is playing some of the best football he's had. Mm-hmm. He's done since he's been with the Giants. The defensive tackles are playing well, and now the pass rush seems coming along. I'm a little bit more optimistic than I think a lot of the fans on the site. The fans on the site keep saying, look, they just beat two very bad quarterbacks. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. I think that's, don't get me wrong, I think that's a huge, huge reason there. But I don't know. I just get my gut tells me that this defense is finally starting to turn around. I think fans forget that the defense really wasn't all that impressive even during the last Super Bowl run until those last six games, that the defense was pretty dreadful then. So there's been discussions about, you know, you've seen some of the Giant players talking about they've simplified the defense a little bit, and the last time we know that they did that was in 2011 during the playoff run, and that combined with some of the new additions and the reinforcements that they're getting, some fans are saying, hey, that, you know, this defense is coming around, and if we stop committing turnovers, they can win games. But I still think what you're saying, your first point, is the most overwhelming reaction. They want to see the Giants beat a good team before they let their hopes get too high here.
You know, the funny part, Eric, they're going up against Pryor, who's more dangerous with his legs than he is with his arm. And then in 2 weeks, it's probably going to be Seneca Wallace. So
right.
The Giants, in theory, could win four in a row against four
sure.
subpar quarterbacks. But yet, that right. Dallas Cowboys game could be a battle for first place.
Exactly.
Isn't
exactly.
it nuts?
But wouldn't that be fun, though? I mean, that would just... I mean, I'm dying for them to get to that position. I hope they don't blow it the next 2 weeks, because I would love to put Dallas in that spot. You know, I'd love to, you know, and if the Giants lose that game, shame on them. But I just pray that they get to 4-6 and at least make that a really interesting game for the entire division.
Again, Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive, joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, myself, Anita Marks, as well as Paul Dottino. Eric, big news this week, the fact that Andre Brown comes off of IR. Now you've got a backfield with the Giants that at one point in time was a major concern going into each and every game. Now you've got a three-headed monster, and these are all big, strong running backs. Peyton Hillis has been a great surprise. Brandon Jacobs, you know what he can do, and then now Andre Brown back. What are the fans saying on your message board about the running game right now?
They're all fighting over their favorites right now. I think the interesting thing is going to be to see how the Giants actually choose to use these guys. I hope they let somebody get into a rhythm. You know, that's been one issue in the past, in previous years with the Giants, is sometimes they do this running back by committee, and they have different roles, and there's a third down back, and there's someone who usually starts and someone who comes into the game. I think we're all curious to see how this is going to play out, because you can make a strong argument, I think, for any of these guys. So I just personally hope that they let somebody get into a rhythm and get something going there. I know Paul's favorite is Brandon, and he's coming off a heck of a game in the Bears game. Do they go back to him? Hillis has been a really good surprise, especially given the fact that he was out of football since the preseason, and obviously Andre Brown has played well when he's been able to stay healthy. I would imagine that they're going to ease him a little bit back in because he hasn't had a lot of work. But I think the debate on the site is, all right, who's going to be not playing, who should be playing more, and that's where we're at. And I think we're all sort of curious to see how this is going to play out.
Great stuff. You're heading out to the game, I'm assuming, right?
Not this weekend. No, I'm not.
No?
I'll be following it. It makes it difficult with the website and doing updates and stuff like that. But a lot of BBIers obviously will be there.
All right, last question for you before we let you go. What's the biggest concern you think Giants fans have heading into this game? What's their biggest concern?
Well, I think it's probably the unknown with the quarterback. The Giants have... Actually, you know, the secondary's played pretty darn well this year, even without the pass rush. But they've had some issues still with the read option, and you know, players like JPP have bitten on the fakes a little bit too hard with that. And I think the concern is that, because we saw Michael Vick in the first game hurt the Giants with, I think, around 75 yards rushing in that game. So I think the concern is the unknown at the quarterback running the football. He had the longest run in NFL history from the quarterback position. He's like a running back there. So I think that's the big concern, is keep him under control. I don't think the Giants have much to fear with him throwing the football, but he can obviously make big plays with his feet.
Great stuff. Eric, thank you. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thank you, guys.
Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive. Again, phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. You want to get in on the show, now's the time to do it. Also, all things social media, we monitor Twitter throughout the show. If you've got a question or comment, please make sure you include that hashtag GiantsChat, and we will share that on the show. Right, Pauly D?
Absolutely. And, you know, he mentioned Pryor's running ability. The guy's 6'4", 233, okay? I mean, he's not a shrimp back there. This guy is a big son of a bitch. And he can move.
I thought it was interesting. Justin Tuck was addressing the media yesterday, and they were asking about Terrell Pryor and you know, his physicality and his speed, and how does he relate? Like, how do you compare him to the Cam Newtons and the Michael Vicks and the RG3s? And Justin Tuck said that he's faster. He's faster than Michael Vick and RG3.
It's on film. You could see it.
Right.
He's that quick. And you know what troubles me about him is that he hits that second gear in a heartbeat. His acceleration is very, very quick. And that's what scares me about this if I'm Perry Fuel, because you know how the Giants have had trouble with lane integrity with these scrambling quarterbacks. Well, Pryor's the kind of guy who, if you give him that crease and he decides he's going to tuck it down, which, again, I told you just a little while ago, he has a propensity to want to tuck it down. He's not necessarily looking for that second, third, and fourth receiver to throw the ball. He's very happy running it downfield. All he's got to do is make one or two of those cuts, and phew, he's gone for 30. This guy's a problem.
We're going to break down the defensive side of the ball that, again, Paul Dottino was up late last night watching the Kansas City-Oakland Raiders tape. So curious to get your thoughts.
Why do I do this to myself?
I don't know. And you're scouting with the Oakland Raiders on the defensive side of the ball in just a few minutes. But let's continue with our calls. We've got several coming in. Let's go to Ernest calling in from Connecticut. Ernest, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Thank you so much. I like your previous callers about the defense playing well. I am so happy that defense, I think they're playing the best defense now that I've seen them play all year. And I think that their secondary is outstanding. I love the addition of John Beasley, the middle linebacker. And I'm also proud of the coaches. I was kind of hard on those coaches earlier. Perry
Fuel?
Fuel. And even the offensive coordinator, Gelbright. I think, even though they only scored 15 points, I love the fact that they committed to the run. He added a couple of little wrinkles there that kept the defense guessing so that their pass rush couldn't get to him with that, the young line that they have. So I think they're doing a great job. I love the way the defense is playing. I would like to see a little bit more of a pass rush. But if they get a little bit more of a pass rush, I think this team has a great chance. Now, I don't want to sound too hopeful, but has a great chance of making a run for the playoffs. As far as the running backs, I love all the running backs, but David Wilson is still my favorite. And I don't think that Andre Brown is going to add a whole lot. When you have two power runners, when you have Jacobs and you have Tillis, I really don't think that Andre Brown is going to add a whole lot. I think you need to still have a scat back there, like Cox or a David Wilson who can sprint it, and I hope that he comes back soon.
Ernest, I need to just interrupt you for half a second here, because what Andre Brown brings to this running back core is a little bit more speed and quickness than what Hillis and Jacobs can offer. And quite frankly, Brown's also got pretty soft hands coming out of the backfield. Now, Hillis is thrown, he can catch the ball pretty well too, but I think Brown's probably got a little bit better hands. So I think it's unfair to say he doesn't necessarily bring anything to this backfield. I think he does.
Okay. I didn't mean to say that he wasn't he is a valuable player there, but I don't think he's going to add a whole lot. Like, I would like to see them, if they added someone, I would rather like to see them get some type of offensive lineman from somewhere. Probably bring somebody off of.
Well, you're not going to find any valuable offensive lineman on the street, not these days, Ernest. I appreciate the call.
Okay.
Thank you. I understand what he's saying. Hey, it would have been great to get another old lineman in here, but quite frankly, the offensive line is starting to play better. David Deal coming back was a big help. And the Giants, you know what's funny about this, Anita? We took so many calls about the coaches, both coordinators, the head coach, when the Giants were mired in the 0-6 losing streak. And winning cures a lot of ills. But to be fair and to be totally objective about this, yes, they played some subpar quarterbacks, but a lot of other things have happened here that have made this a little bit more palatable. You've had the addition of John Beeson, the addition of Will Hill. Eric mentioned Will Hill, and that's a good call by him, because Hill's got a pick and 25 tackles in four games. He's played extremely well in that sub package, and I can't tell you how much of a difference he's going to make against Terrell Pryor. Will Hill is going to be a very, very important factor against the Raiders on Sunday. I'm telling you that right now, because he's the guy who's got the speed in the back seven to watch out for Pryor. He may be the only guy back there who can really take care of business in that regard. And we've seen him do that before against some other quick quarterbacks. So I think that's very interesting to see. The Giants will probably play a lot of sub-package, I think, with him. But the other thing I want to say is the pass rush has suddenly gotten a little bit better. The Giants are now playing with a lead, which they hadn't really done at all in the first six games of the season. And the offensive line's getting a little bit better. Is it any wonder that the coaches are supposed to be coaching better when all these other things are getting a little bit better? You know, coaches always take all the criticism and all the blame when things aren't going well, but all of those bad things aren't always 100% their fault, is what I'm saying.
Today, Thursday, here at the facility, that's where we're broadcasting from, myself and Paul Dottino, a normal work day. We're off at 10:30, and then players practice. Thank you. Players practice at 11:55 a.m. Tom Coughlin will be made available to the media following practice. Then at 1:50, the locker room opens up. We'll head in there and get some more player sound and player interviews as they look forward to the Oakland Raiders coming to town. And then after practice, the coordinators are available. So we'll talk to Kevin Gilbride as well as Perry Fuel. Tell me, what are your two top questions? One for Kev and one for Perry. What are your two top questions for each coordinator going into this game, Paul?
Well, I would want to know from Kevin if he's going to continue the patience that he's shown on offense the last few weeks when we have seen the Giants get a little bit away from the deep ball and concentrate more on the short to medium range stuff, which has been very efficient and very effective. Of course, he's not going to tell me, but that would be the thing I would want to know from him.
I'm curious because, you know, keep in mind there are three players on this team that at one point in time played for the Oakland Raiders, and that's Brendan Myers, Lewis Murphy, as well as Kevin Booth.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you will see teams play certain players against their old former team. And you do hear it in the NFL where guys get a little bit more crumped up, a little bit more excited, a little bit more stoked to play against a team that they used to be on. So I'm curious, is Brendan Myers going to get a little bit more love? Are we going to see a little bit more Lewis Murphy in this game? Because he's going up against a defense in corners that he knows very well.
That's an interesting point. Lewis Murphy, as I think I told you yesterday off the air, has apparently performed much better in practice lately, and they do want to see if they can get him some more reps during the second half of the season. That may be a practice competition between him and Reuben Randall, quite frankly, to see who gets some more of those third wide receiver reps, because Reuben has been inconsistent.
Well, Lewis Murphy complimented my jacket yesterday, and this is a guy who does not talk much. You know that.
Oh, boy, he doesn't say anything. You've got to pull teeth.
Lewis Murphy does not talk.
Yeah, but your jacket was great.
I know it
was. I loved it, too.
I thought that's why I purchased
and
it.
And I think I complimented you first.
You did.
Of course.
Kim Jones actually complimented. I got a lot of compliments on my jacket yesterday.
Go.
But Lewis Murphy, who never talks, complimented my. And then this morning when I was in the lunchroom, I was getting a cup of coffee before I came in here to host. He had a little bit more pep in his step, walked by me. Hi, good morning, Anita. So twice in 2 days, there's a smiley, happy, very talkative, more so than normal, Lewis Murphy. Something's going on here, Paul.
Some pigskin flying his way?
Something's going on. I just have a feeling.
Okay.
That we might see a little bit more Lewis Murphy this week against his old team, the Oakland Raiders. That is my question for Kevin Gilbride.
All right.
201, go ahead.
Well, you wanted a defensive one, though, for Perry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And it would be what I just said to you a couple of minutes ago about Will Hill being a very important part of containing Pryor because of his speed and quickness.
201-939-4513. We've got a full bank of calls. We're going to rock and roll, but keep in mind, Paul stayed up late for you guys and broke down the Kansas City-Oakland Raiders.
You didn't want to hear my words of wisdom either.
I do. I just feel bad. We've got a full bank of calls.
Let's go through the calls. Do it just for them. I do it for you, too.
Let's go through the calls, and then I just kind of remind people. We still have 30 minutes of the show. We're going to get down to your...
You could have helped me with this, you know.
Your defensive scouting.
You can watch tape, too.
Your defensive scouting. I'm too busy drinking wine as soon as I leave.
Yes, I know.
All right, let's go to, is this Ra? Let's go to Ra calling in from the Bronx. Ra.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, Anita, I remember you when you from the Scott days. How you been? Glad to see you in the Tri-State area.
That is so funny. I have to share with you. So I ran the New York Marathon on Sunday, right? And so we start off in Staten Island, and then we go through the Bronx, we go through Queens, and then we go up First Avenue, and then we go into the Bronx. And I just want to say, I hope I never see the Bronx again. It was the most miserable time of my life. I want to say around that time I was at mile 20 and I wanted to die. And so I just I know you're calling in from the Bronx, but I do not have any love for the Bronx right about now.
Too many hills.
It was just brutal, my friend, and you weren't out there cheering me on. So what's your Giants question?
It's just, you know, honestly, regardless of the outcome of the season, I mean, even if we win the Super Bowl, I think still we need to clean house a lot. Going against the Eagles, I mean, it was bittersweet because it was kind of disappointing. We getting in the red zone and we couldn't score against a terrible defense. I mean, I don't care what they rank, like they're just garbage. That we should have blown them out at least to, you know, nothing for real, but you know, I think regardless of the outcome this season, we just need to clean house. And, a side note, Hazen should be banned in the NFL. And much as we need offensive linemen, I think we should give the kid Martin a shot. I don't think he's a wuss at all. I think he did the right thing. So, with that being said, I know it's limited time, so I'll hang up and let y'all call me. Peace.
Well, I'm not sure why he mentioned Martin, because he's not a free agent. I know he left the Dolphins to apparently get some help for the bullying situation in Miami, but to my knowledge, he wasn't cut, was he? I don't think he was cut. The caller was asking suggesting the Giants should look at him.
And who?
Martin. He's not cut. He's still a member of the Dolphins.
Oh, Jonathan Martin?
Yeah. He's still a member of the Dolphins,
he's
right?
He's AWOL. He's still a member of the Dolphins. But apparently, Dolphins players, have you heard the latest now?
I don't think so. I was too busy watching tape.
Yeah, of course. All right, so this is what the latest is. All the Dolphins players, speaking to the media, have come out and said that they don't want Jonathan Martin back. They don't know why Jonathan Martin did this. Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito were friends. The message that Jonathan Martin gave to the media was a message that he played in the locker room as a joke, as a prank. Everybody laughed about it. He doesn't understand. Richie Cognito considered Jonathan Martin a friend. There was no bullying that went on. And all the players in the Miami Dolphins locker room want Richie Incognito back, and they do not want Jonathan Martin back. Yeah, this is what came out last night. Peter King... If you're a Peter King fan or not, he's got an excellent article out right now. He spoke to a player who used to be a part of the Miami Dolphins offensive line crew and knows Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin very well and has his own take on what happened. That's on Monday Morning Quarterback. Okay. I highly recommend, if you've been following the story, it's an excellent read. It's from a player who knows both these gentlemen and is very in tune and in touch to what is going on. And he as well confirms that Richie Incognito is not this horrible guy that the media has made him out to be. He doesn't understand why Jonathan Martin is doing this to Incognito, and the Dolphins players do not want Jonathan Martin back.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to reserve any and all opinions about Jonathan Martin right now, because I don't know enough about any of this to determine if I would even want to give him a phone call.
Right.
So why don't I just let that one be?
Yeah. But the caller, I mean, really, you know, his main... I guess point was blow everything up and start over again. I don't know. I mean,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, especially on defense, there are some guys here that you want around. I mean, come on. Have you watched Beeson play the last few weeks? You don't want this guy back? Which, by the way, when he spoke to Anita on Big Blue Hits yesterday, he told you how much does he want to come back? Like a lot, right? He really likes it here. That's good news, because he's a free agent at the end of the season. And he would be a very, very important piece to this puzzle. Should he be able to stay healthy? I mean, let's clarify here. He's got to get through the rest of the season healthy. But if that's the case, I think he's young enough and he's playing well enough that I think you're going to want him around for a while. That's just for starters. Guys like Will Hill, Entrell Roll, you know, Ryan Mundy's done a nice job. There are guys on this defense you want. Look at that D-line. Look at some of the young guys on the defensive line, too.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Paul, really quick, this is a story that just broke about 50 minutes ago. Hall of Famer Tony Dorsett, as well as former New York Giants defensive tackle Leonard Marshall, have been diagnosed with CTE.
Yeah, let me just say, I had heard something about this last night that it was going to be coming out, and I know Leonard very well, obviously. Played a little defensive tackle, but mostly played defensive end for the Giants. In fact, I believe in 85, he was the NFL Defensive Lineman of the Year. Terrific, terrific player. Went to the Pro Bowl a couple of times, two Super Bowl championship rings. I haven't seen Leonard much the last couple of years. I know he's done a lot of financial wizardry. He's also done a lot with the education system, with charities and with children. In fact, he was a high school football coach a couple of years ago down in Hudson County. Leonard, to me, has always been one of those big teddy bears. You know, a guy who looked really, really mean because he was like, you know, 6'3", 300 pounds, and you could easily be intimidated by him, but has always been a very pleasant guy once you got to know him. And I'm very disturbed to hear about this. I don't know what degree it has affected him. And again, I haven't seen him now in a few years, outside of maybe a quick hello a couple of years ago. But I have, over the years since he retired, talked to Leonard on many occasions, including personally in his presence, not just on the telephone, and had never sensed that he had any difficulties at all. So I don't know if this is something that has affected him later on in life or how bad it is. I just don't know the answer to that. But I will tell you, it does disturb me, and I hope that he's doing well and able to cope with whatever it is that's afflicting him at this time.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's continue with our calls. We go to Charlie calling in from Portland, Maine. Charlie, welcome.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the offense. Right now the defense is playing pretty well. I know part of that is because we haven't really been up against a really good quarterback, but the defense is playing a lot better. And I think we could go on a run if, and only if, the Giants' offense starts playing to the way they should be playing. I mean, we need to score points. We need to score touchdowns. And if the offense can get going, get in sync, then I think we definitely, you know, can get back in this very easily, especially where the defense is playing.
Well, I'm going to offer one other thing to you, my friend. How about special teams starts cleaning up attack too? Because
well,
the offense might get it together, and if the special team starts allowing more punt returns for touchdowns, what's that going to do?
Yeah, exactly, and they have been doing that. So, and that was, you know, that's part of the roster problem that I thought Reese or whoever made these decisions when they let Bosworth go, who was supposed to be the special teams maniac, and they cut him because of whatever reason. I never knew why.
Well, they had to keep the fourth tight end because they were concerned about injuries.
Yeah, well,
I know. We could rehash that one for an hour.
That's another whole thing I'm still. They should get rid of.
I understand.
But anyway, and the other thing is, I remember back when we were in the summer when you were talking. Everyone's talking about Murphy, like he's going to be spreading the offense. The defense is out. He's going to be the deep threat. He's going to be, you know, he's going to just open things up. The guy hasn't even played. I was he got one catch or none. I don't know.
One catch for 8 yards.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
so
I know.
You know, that's another thing. What the heck happened there? You know, it's just, there was just so many things. And Myers, and, you know, Myers to me is a passing tight end. He's not a blocker. He never was, and he probably never will be, you know. And I don't know why they keep trying to make him a blocker. Just use Pasco. Just, you know, put him in when there's, you know, when it's time to throw the ball or something. But it just seems like they're not utilizing the people the way they should be utilizing them. And, you know, I think part of it is because Robinson's been injured, but he seems to always be injured. But hopefully this week he's supposed to be back, and hopefully he'll be able to contribute a lot.
Just remember, it's a lot easier to get passes downfield and also to spread the ball around and get more guys involved if your offensive line is holding up. And for the better part of this season, the offensive line was not really holding up. So that all plays into this equation.
Right. Yeah, I definitely. And I know we're going to be, I don't know when they're going to do this, but Andre Brown's going to be activated, and Coons, hopefully, will be activated. And to me, is like, I think David Wilson's loss for the year. Just put him on IR. Let him rest, because what he has is a real dangerous situation. Hopefully he'll be able to play again, but give him the whole year just to, you know, rest and do whatever he can do with what he's got. And so that would leave a space for Andre, you know, Brown to come on. In Coons, I would either put Donnelly, put him on the practice squad, or I would get rid of Painter, because I don't think we need three quarterbacks now, and use that spot for Coons to get back to on the 53. So,
all right, appreciate the thoughts.
Offense gets in sync, because if it does, I think we can go on a big run. But if it doesn't, because I think Oakland's going to score some points this week. You know, they're going to score probably 21 points. That's my guess. So the Giants, they've got to, you know, they got to score like 30, 35 points, and they should be able to do it against Oakland. So,
thanks very much.
Okay.
Paul just pointed up CNBC is on here. Explain. This is Twitter. I guess Twitter's going public.
Yeah, they've been talking about this for a while, and I know, as a matter of fact, you had said to me a week or two ago, as I recall, that this was going to happen and this was going to be quite a news story, and indeed it is.
So I don't understand. I mean, what are they saying? They're saying that the anticipated opening price would be $45 a share, but it really opened at $26. Is that
yes,
what they're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm reading from the crawl, because we don't have the volume up.
Okay.
So I know. Just relax. Stay right here.
I have my computer in front of me.
Do I need to cover the keys?
Hey, I mean, that's not it's not a bad investment.
I hear you.
My grandfather already says, you know, I guess when Smuckers was first created.
Yes, the jelly.
Right.
Right.
I think my grandfather said, like, it was like a dollar a share. And my grandparents were like, no way is a manufactured jam put in a jar going to have any success. He said it's the worst. He said he wish he would have...
Yeah.
Invested them. They never thought that Smuckers would be what it is today. You know, back then, you know, my grandparents, they would make their own jam.
I'm not surprised.
You know.
Anyway. I've often thought about what would be like the next really cool invention, and I can't think of one.
I'm being told that the best thing to invest in right now in regard to stocks and whatnot is water. That's going to be our next issue coming up. Anyway,
stick to fantasy football, will you please?
Let's get back to.
You've ruined enough lives with your picks.
Oh my gosh! 201-939-4513. Let's go to Anne, or Anna, Anne in DC. Anne, welcome.
It's Anne. Good morning. How are you?
Hi.
Oh, hello, Anne.
Oh yes, and you know why I'm calling.
Oh, I know why you're calling. Go ahead.
Anne, let me just say this really quick. Can I have your boss's phone number? Because your boss needs to understand you're entitled to a 5-minute phone call with us each and every Wednesday or Thursday. And you don't have to whisper.
I don't call that often, but I'm at work.
I know. We can hear that you're at work. You're whispering in your cubicle.
Is this guy a Cowboys fan? Is that the problem?
No, he's a Redskins fan.
Oh no.
No.
Well, all right. I get it now. We don't want you to lose your job, so whisper away.
And my husband is a Redskin fan also. No, my husband is a Redskin fan.
He is.
Yes, he is.
Paul, stop screaming. She's whispering. You're screaming. It's too
much. Well,
I'm just very
what?
Upset. I'm very upset
okay.
by this news.
I'm in Redskin territory. Okay.
I got you. Go ahead.
Okay. And they're a good team. They're a good team. But I'm getting back to here. Now, you know I'm not fond of this coaching staff. I am not fond of them,
uh-huh.
Okay? And I want to know, first of all, during the bye week, what did Tom Coughlin do? And number two, what did he do to make this a better team? And
okay.
Secondly, why in the world is Tom Quinn still on staff? Why wasn't he fired during the bye week?
Okay. You want me to go one or two first? Which one
wanna,
first?
And let me finish. I do not want to see Andre Brown because, as far as I'm concerned, he's hype. What has he ever done but break his leg, okay? I don't buy hype. Secondly, I don't want to see a bunch of receivers, small receivers like Lewis Murphy, out in that field because they're too soft. I'd rather
small?
See Tony about it.
He's
they're
a six-footer now. He's not a shrimp.
Are they physical?
Lewis Murphy's
they're
not a shrimp.
Physical. They're not physical, okay? I need to see a tight end out there that can knock people down, okay?
Well, Mark Bavaro's retired.
Well, it doesn't mean I'd rather see Myers than a small receiver like Jermaine Jernigan.
I get you there.
I'd rather see Bear Pascoe. Okay, he's bigger and stronger.
All right, well, see, let's address the things that you wanted us to address.
Yeah, because it's unacceptable. 2-6 is unacceptable for a coach that's one of the highest paid coaches in the league.
All right, let me go backwards here. Let me go backwards here.
No, I don't. I want to, this year, I want to say what did he do to make this team a better team in the offseason? I don't want to hear about jokes because I know he, personally, I'd rather see a younger coach out there. And so what did he do to make this team a better team, a team during the bye week?
Okay.
And why is Tom Quinn still on the payroll?
All right, very good. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now she also mentioned Andre Brown, so let me just go backwards here. Andre Brown, I think, ran for 8 touchdowns in 10 games last season, before he wound up suffering the season-ending injury. And, of course, again, he's hurt now. And I'm not going to dispute with you his injury record, because his injury record is not very good. We both know that. And so I will not argue that. But at the same time, has he been a productive short-yardage back when he's been here? He absolutely has. So I don't think he's worthless. There have been other backs over the course of time here that I've seen that I would qualify as much closer to worthless than Andre Brown. Okay, Tom Quinn. No question, the Giants special teams look like they were going to be better during the offseason. Then they get into the season, and the coverage units have not been good, specifically on punts. The kickoff return units haven't been bad. They've been a little sporadic, but not bad. It's the punt return unit that has really fallen apart. Now, the Giants do not fire guys in midseason. That is not their style. If you want to tell me that at the end of the year, Tom Quinn should be reevaluated, I'm all for that. Everybody gets reevaluated at the end of the season. And if his track record continues to be poor over the course of the second half of the year, I'm sure there are going to be some very sharp questions directed in his direction. So I think that's about the fairest way I can answer that one. As far as what did Tom Coughlin do, Tom busted his butt when a couple of guys, you know, asked him, well, how are you going to spend your time? He's like, I'm working. You know, I'm watching film. We're trying to get better. The focus that he used for his bye week was on the red zone. Tom decided that the Giants' red zone was not nearly where he wanted it to be. Now, let me take a look here, see if we have this number, Anita. The Giants in the red zone. I'm looking for this stat, and I cannot believe that I don't have it. Oh, it's probably over here in this other piece of paper. And it was basically decided that if the Giants were going to pick one area that they had to dramatically improve when they came back off of the bye, it was going to be their red zone offense. And so that was stressed to these guys over and over and over again when they came back to the facility on Monday. Now, I'm looking up the red zone numbers here. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, folks. I should have had this handy, because it is a relevant topic, especially since Tom said he wanted to work on it. Okay, the Giants, on 19 possessions inside the red zone, have 19 touchdowns and 8 field goals. So their scoring percentage is 89% inside the red zone. The opposition has 22 possessions inside the 20 with 13 touchdowns and 4 field goals. And so their scoring percentage inside the red zone, believe it or not, is 77%. So the Giants are doing better than their opponents in those situations, but nonetheless, not doing nearly well enough. And so that was the premier point of concentration for this team over the course of the bye, and that's what Tom Coughlin has focused on, to try to get this team some more points on offense, because after all, that's been the side of the ball that hasn't really lived up to expectations. Is that a fair answer?
Yes. Let's continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. Also, all things social media. And make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. Here are some questions for you. An update on the guys that have been injured and that will play on Sunday. Let's take a look at that injury list. David Wilson out, we know, not expected back anytime soon. Right, Paul?
Correct. David Wilson got a decent report from the doctors the other day. They said there's some improvement in his neck, but not nearly enough to clear him.
All right, did not practice Victor Cruz, Terrell Thomas, and Corey Webster. Big concern when it comes to Victor Cruz. We know how bad this offense needs Victor Cruz, Paul.
Oh, boy. Victor Cruz, you know, here's the one thing I want to say about him. He signed a big deal during the offseason, and we all talked about what he was trying to do with jockeying for the best possible numbers. He's performed. Let's not make any bones about this. Right now, he's got himself a little bit of a stiff neck. We expect him to practice today. We expect him to play on Sunday. Victor Cruz has actually lived up to his contract. I have no problems with what he's done.
Do you anticipate him to play on Sunday?
I sure do.
Darrell Thomas as well as Corey Webster. Thomas dealing with a knee, Corey Webster with a groin. What's their status? Do you anticipate them to play on Sunday?
Well, Terrell Thomas is going to be managed all season long. They're going to try to give him at least a day or two off during the course of the week as they navigate the rest of the season because, quite frankly, he has played sensational football, and they don't want to take any chances with his triple ACL repair. So that does not concern me at all. Corey Webster is a mystery to me. I can only say this. Corey played through a lot of injuries last year and did not play well and was hammered for it. I do believe that part of the reason why he's not out there nowadays is because I think he does not really want to go out there at whatever percentage that he is because he's afraid that he's going to hurt the team and, quite frankly, get battered by more criticisms when, you know, he really did put it out on the line last year trying to fight through injury, and it did not work out very well.
Limited participation in practice yesterday. Jerron Hosley, Brandon Jacobs, and Sean Rogers. First, let's talk about Jerron Hosley because actually we did get a tweet about him. Somebody was interested in exactly. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. What's the latest on Jerron?
I believe Hosley's got a chance to play this weekend. At least that's what he's been targeting. He is limited, as you mentioned, so I think he may come down to a game-time decision. I think part of that may also be what happens with Corey Webster. If Corey's able to get out of the field today or tomorrow, that would certainly enhance his chances and perhaps lower the chances of Hosley.
Sean Rogers.
Sean Rogers looked pretty good as he was walking around the facility yesterday. The week before, his knee was clearly hobbling him, and he wasn't able to play against Philadelphia. But I see dramatic improvement in him as he's walking around. So I'd say he probably has a shot. I'd like to see what he does over the next 48 hours.
All right, so again, 201-939-4513. On for the next 10 minutes, you've got a question, a comment, as the Giants get ready to take on the Oakland Raiders. Keep in mind, you do have Lance Meadow and John Schmelk on with you tomorrow, same time, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, right here on Giants.com. A little bit later on this afternoon, practice, players made available. Those interviews will be up on Giants.com. You can check those out. Also, Paul and I will be hosting Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can watch that show on Giants.com as well as Verizon Fios One a little bit later on this evening. And that is a show, an interactive show, so you can call into that show as well. So please set your alarms. Make sure you tune into that a little bit later on this afternoon. Paul, I know that all eyes are going to be on this backfield. The fact that the biggest, I think, storyline for the Giants this week is the fact that Andre Brown is back. Based on what you were able to watch in practice yesterday, how do you feel? What are you anticipating out of this backfield? I mean, do you feel that the Giants are going to ease Andre Brown back in slowly? Do you feel that we're going to get a heavy dose of Peyton Hillis? How do you see this all kind of working out?
Well, you know, I really think that the Giants, in a perfect world, they would love to have Andre Brown back at 100% because he's the most versatile and the quickest of the running backs, and this way he could do the whole thing. He's not ready yet. He understands that he's not truly in football shape. He's not in condition to take those kinds of hits, and so he's only going to be a bit player now on Sunday. If he's activated, which it looks like he will be, at best, he's going to be a bit player, and he's going to have a small role in this offense. It's still primarily going to be either Jacobs or Hillis who are going to have to get this job done against a top 10 rushing defense in the Oakland Raiders that's only given up about 3.5 yards a carry. So I think, you know, it's really going to be incumbent upon the two battering rams, the two bruisers, Hillis and Jacobs, to soften up the Oakland defense in the early going, so that then they can open things up and make things a bit easier for Eli to look downfield against this very suspect secondary.
All right. What about special teams?
Well,
you know, we did have a caller call in and not really thrilled with the special teams coach, but how do you feel special teams can improve the second half of the season?
You know, Anita, the one thing that troubles me about the Giants special teams units is that they still don't have a whole lot of success on their returns. You know, whether it be Reuben Randall trying to return punts, and that's just not really getting them anywhere, or you know, whoever's back there on kickoffs these days, it just doesn't seem to be happening for them. And that's bad because, let's face it, every offense would love the benefit of better field position so that they could start off in a spot where they think they could do a few more things. People are tilting the field on this team. I don't know how you fix the return thing. I really don't. But in terms of the coverage units, I'll tell you how you fix that. You start threatening jobs. You start telling some of these guys who are missing tackles on special teams or guys who are not filling their lanes properly, guess what? You're not getting a jersey on Sunday. You'll be inactive. We'll dress somebody who is going to do what they're supposed to do and make the appropriate tackle. That's how you help fix that special teams problem.
All right, so looking forward to this game because this is the last opportunity for us to host Big Blue Kickoff Live. Give me your thoughts in regard to the three keys to the game.
Well, you know, I'm looking at this, and I really believe that the biggest key defensively is to make sure that Pryor does not run around like a madman. I mean, that's to me is just a no-brainer. He's got too much speed, even though he's coming off of a sore knee. We talked about how he practiced well yesterday. The Giants need to make sure he does not beat them with his legs. That to me is number one. On the other side of the ball, when you talk about the Giants' offense, again, I would like to see them be methodical, be patient, establish some type of rhythm like they have the last 2 weeks, when even though they haven't scored enough of touchdowns, they have at least scored, and they have at least marched downfield, and they put together a bunch of 60-yard drives. I think that's very, very important for this team, especially against a substandard defense. And I think the third thing is, and, you know, the Raiders don't have a very good special teams unit. We're talking about the special teams being a bugaboo for the Giants. Well, the Raiders are averaging 9 yards a return on punts and 21 yards a return on kickoffs. Nothing to write home about. But the third thing would have to be try to clean up the specials on the coverage teams. I'm not even so much concerned with the Giants getting return yardage this weekend. I would be more concerned about them breaking down, screwing up a lane, and allowing the Raiders to have some sense of life, especially early in the game. See, it's my belief, Anita, and you and I have covered this league for a long time, it is my belief that the mediocre West Coast teams, especially after a loss when they come east, they're not real excited about playing a game, especially if they get whacked early in the game. Remember, it's a 1 o'clock start. The body clocks for the Raiders is going to be 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. when the Giants kick off. The Giants need to take it to this team in the first half, okay? They need to be impressive. They need to batter them with the running game early, continue to then work in some passing, and then by the end of the second quarter, Eli needs to be firing some strikes to where the Giants need to have a 2-score lead at halftime to really take the sting out of this Raider team so that they're looking for the plane out of Newark by the end of the third quarter. That's what they need to do.
Right.
Can they do it? I don't know. But that's what they need to do. That would allow me not to have agita on Sunday.
Good stuff, Paul. And thanks for spending the time late last night breaking down that Kansas City-Oakland game.
Well, I should give you a couple of thoughts, though, which we didn't really do. Heavy run blitz team, the Raiders. Very heavy run blitz team, which is why they're so effective against the run. They are filling the gaps very, very well by sending 5 and 6 and 7 man packages. Multiple blitz schemes. They'll send the corners. They'll send the safeties. They'll send the linebackers. They'll go A gap. They'll go B gap. They'll go off the edge. They don't care. To me, they have no rhyme or reason about their blitz packages. They're just sending guys. I also thought that their defensive line was extremely active, and their defensive tackles got good push in the interior. Those were my thoughts.
Okay. So I'm going to put you on the hot seat. I know I don't normally do this.
What are you going to do to me now?
But give me a final score.
How about 27-17 Giants, but it's going to be a game that will belie the score. I got a feeling it's going to be a little bit more competitive than a lot of fans would like it to be, but I do think the Giants will win 27-17-ish. That's kind of where I'm going right now.
27-17 Giants.
Yeah.
That's what you're going with.
I think so.
Okay. Hey, it's been a fun two mornings with you. Again, please stay tuned to Giants.com for all the player interviews that will be posted later on this afternoon, as well as Big Blue Hits Live. You can tune in and watch on Giants.com with myself and Paul Dottino later on this afternoon. That's at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a great day, everybody.